Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It is 6:15 now on this already Wednesday morning, and highs there going to be 68 degrees. Nothing but sunshine tomorrow. Splendid. Now, I think we lose track of the fact that even though it is December and it may not be as cold as we would all like it to be, nothing but sunshine and 68 and 70 degrees, that's pretty doggone nice, right? Then Friday, 50% chance for showers, a little cool front comes through. Saturday, as we sit inside or outside and watch the LSU championship game or listen to it here on WWL, highs of 66. And then the showdown with the 49ers, Sunday, noon. You can hear it all here on WWL. And if you're doing some tailgating before the game to get ready, outstanding, clear, and highs of 72. So there is a new poll that was done, and about a third of millennial men say they would try to avoid the draft if it were brought back. So we're asking you, what is your reaction, and should women have to sign up for the Selective Service, or should we just get rid of it entirely? Chris Preble joins us now, Vice President for Defense and Foreign Policy Studies at the Cato Institute. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, sir.
Can I ask you for a little history of the draft and the Selective Service registration, if you will, for people that, I mean, it's been a while since we've had it, so they may not know.
Right. So, for the major wars the United States fought in the 20th century, so World War I, World War II, Korea and Vietnam, there was a draft of, appropriately aged men. As the wars in Korea and Vietnam, we resorted less to sort of a blanket conscription of all males, but more of a selective service. And then so in the waning days of the Vietnam era, you had a lottery system where people's, whether or not they were going to be drafted or subject to the draft was based on sort of where their number was in the system. But then in 1973, we abolished conscription. We abolished the Selective Service and went to an all-volunteer force. That's what we've had since 73. But in the early 80s, the requirement was established that people would still have to register. Males would have to register in the event that a future war required the mass mobilization of millions of military-aged men.
One thing that surprised me is that you would think during World War II, from sometimes the narrative that's pushed is that immediately after the war, look, my dad at age 16 joined the military after a priest forged his birth certificate because everybody was upset after World War II.
Right.
But
right.
A lot of people had to be drafted to fight World War II, did they not?
That's correct. So, as I recall, it's more than two-thirds of people who served in the military in World War II were ultimately draftees.
Wow.
And even among those who volunteered, some number of those people volunteered knowing that they would be subject to the draft, and so they did so. In some cases, volunteering for service allowed you to choose which branch of the military, for example, you went into or things like that. So there was an incentive for some to actually volunteer, but the majority of people who served were drafted.
So Canada was the preferred destination, I guess, for people that didn't have the hookup to get out of Vietnam. Is that an accurate statement, Chris?
I think that's true, but the way that most people avoided service, if their draft number was called, if they otherwise would have been chosen, was to invoke various exceptions that increasingly were seen as being exploited or used by privileged people, wealthy people, people who had access to, a doctor who could affirm your unfit to service or things like that. There were also exceptions for or exemptions or for college study or graduate study and things like that. So people resorted to that before going to the more drastic step of crossing the northern border.
Chris, we're going to pick it up here when we come back. I think it's a fascinating conversation about selective service and the draft. Chris Preble is our guest, Vice President for Defense and Foreign Policy Studies at the Cato Institute, a third of millennial men say they would try to avoid the draft if, in fact, they were. I believe the word is conscripted, and our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll is asking you, should we get rid of the Selective Service System? And as it stands now, 100% are saying no. Time now, traffic, WWL. 624, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Currently about 50 degrees if you average the temperatures in the areas. Our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll, should we get rid of the Selective Service System? And the overwhelming majority are saying yes. Chris Preble, rather, is our guest vice president for defense and foreign policy studies at the Cato Institute. Chris, at this time of year, what with LSU and the Saints, I almost said defense because we get the two confused, you know? Let's talk about selective service. Selective service is the draft, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so
that's right.
The Cato Institute's feelings are what? That it is ineffective, that it's inequitable? Explain this to me.
Sure. So I'm speaking just for myself, Chris Preble. So I don't speak for the entire institute, but I approach it from two perspectives. First is the all-volunteer force that we've had since 1973 is extraordinarily capable because it's made up of people who want to be in service, not those who are forced to be in service. Now, that's not to say that people who were conscripted were not also good soldiers. Many of them were. But we think that the quality of the force, the retention of people in the force is directly a result of us moving to volunteerism and not to compulsion. The other problem from an equity perspective for men is that if we're going to institute a draft, then women should be drafted as well. The reason I say that is because when the draft was in existence, even as late as 1973, virtually all of the service roles were open only to men and not to women. There was a very, very small number of women serving in the military throughout most of the 20th century, at least until the early 1970s. And so virtually all of those restrictions have been lifted. And so, again, from a matter of equity, if we were to continue the draft, then at a minimum, both men and women should register. But ultimately, I just think it's not necessary. If the United States was confronting the kind of national emergency which required us to have millions of men and women in uniform to fight off the looming invaders, then we could resort to a draft. We could resort to conscription and compel people to serve. It seems to me the likelihood of that happening, and especially the likelihood of that happening out of the blue, is virtually zero. And so the notion that the only way you can mobilize the resources for this country is by requiring men only to register when they vote or when they go apply for financial benefits or things like that is just, to me, absurd. It's not actually necessary. If in the highly unlikely event that we needed that kind of military in the future, we could mobilize it the old-fashioned
way. When you discuss this, you have to take into effect a factor is how warfare has changed since World War II, what happened in Vietnam.
Correct.
Now you're really not fighting a country, you're fighting an ideology. And this is in no way to disrespect the brave men and women that serve in our military and have paid the ultimate price. But at some point, do people wonder, well, wait, what's going on here? What are the politics behind this? And what am I really risking my life for?
Yes, that's true. So some people argue that if we went to a model that exposed more people to service, that they would take more seriously the wars that otherwise are fought by a very, very small number of Americans, and most of us are not paying attention. I'm not convinced by that argument because, again, ultimately I think it would undermine the effectiveness of the force. But I also believe from a libertarian perspective, my own personal ideology is that compelling people to serve against their will is not how this country not how this country operates. We also don't. There are other services that we depend upon for our safety from, firemen and police officers. We don't draft them into service either. And so I think that we should have enough confidence in our ability as a country to mobilize the talent. And you make an excellent point, is the nature of the wars that we'll be fighting if we ever do in the future are so different than those ground wars, manpower, personnel-intensive wars of the 20th century that we should be thinking more creatively about how we encourage and incentivize people to want to serve, not forcing them to do so against their will.
I know one of the morale killers in Vietnam was they'd gain ground, give it back, and it just demoralized everybody. People were going and dying and getting maimed, but for what? Because you drop back, then you move forward again. Thank you, Chris. I appreciate your time. I really do. Chris Preble, Vice President for Defense and Foreign Policy Studies at the Cato Institute, our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll. Should we get rid of the Selective Service System? 50% are saying no, 50% are saying yes. As to the effectiveness of the fighting force...
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.